Hello, welcome back to the worst podcast you listen to. It is The Reducer with me, Howard H. Smith, Leeds scum, Dave Rothney, Man City scum.
Hello.
And Dave Klein, Liverpool scum.
Hello, Howard.
Hello, mate. Sorry, I'm laughing because we couldn't actually see Dave there. We could just see his hair.
No, I'm having a bit of a technology fail this morning.
Oh, well, no, never mind. So, initially, I didn't want to talk about the championship for obvious reasons, but I've been press ganged into it by the two Daves. I'm going to lead with the fact, obviously, we lost 4-0 to QPR in Leeds are falling apart again style. We fully expected the QPR that has played every game this season since the manager arrived, which was a low block, and they decided to go man for man because right from the off and get in our faces, get an early goal, and test the mettle of our young team. I might add the youngest squad in the championship. And it worked. And, you know, fair fucks to QPR. They made us look absolutely terrible. I mean, when Lyndon Dykes is scoring, I mean, even the QPR fans, like, the guy's a cart horse. So, you know, it's not your day. And basically, since the international break, we went in to the international break top of the league and we've come out of it and you know, Ruter had a hernia operation. Nonto's out for a few weeks injured. We've now lost Dan James injured. We've lost a bit of confidence. Kamara has been struggling with illness, and it's the wheels have come off really, and it's very sad. It's very painful. And Leeds fans all over social media congratulating Ipswich on their promotion. And that's not shithousing. We know that there's not going to be a turnaround. You know, it's not irony. We know that they're going to get at least a draw at home to the already relegated Huddersfield. I mean, not mathematically, but virtually. And, you know, we'll try and beat Southampton. But we will, unfortunately, when it comes to the playoffs, you want to be running into them, not falling backwards into them.
Yeah.
That's the issue. We basically will end up in the playoffs and we're going to be up against QPR. Oh, sorry, we're going to be up against West Bromwich Albion, who we haven't beaten this season. They've taken 4 points from us. And or Hull, a sort of Yorkshire derby. And last time Hull were at Elland Road, we didn't deal with them very well at all. We won, but if we go into the playoffs, I fully expect us to not make it to the Premier League. We have lost three playoff finals and we've only made it to three. We've been in more than that and never made it to finals. And yeah, but that's enough about Leeds.
I'm going to say annoying. Can I say something annoying?
Yeah.
Would you have taken this at the start of the season?
Playoffs, no. because it's pointless as a fan, as a Leeds fan, it's pointless. You know, playoffs is not going up.
All right, let me phrase the question separately. Do you think you've overachieved this season? You're pleased with... I mean, obviously, it's the fucking nightmare that you're not, you know, yeah, what's happened the last few games, but you take that out. Are you pleased with it?
To be fair, at least three players who played in our first two games aren't even at Leeds anymore. You know, they were gone by the end of the transfer window. And we hadn't got our recruitment done. And Farker kept saying, you can't get a decent picture of this until after the transfer window. Once players we want to go, and you know, once we've got players in to replace them. And that was right. And everything he said has been right. You know, he brought in Perreault, who was great first half of the season, he got a load of goals, then wasn't quite working, brought Bamford back. Bamford started scoring. And he said, basically, 2 points a game and you get promoted from this division. Well, we've played 45 games and we've got 90 points. The reason we're not getting promoted is it is such a freak of a season. You know, a team getting 100 points, it's not that rare in the championship. Three teams on 90 or above. Put it this way, if we win on Saturday and don't go up, you know, Ipswich get a result at home. If we win on Saturday, we will be the first team since 1998 to finish with 93 points and not be promoted automatically. So to say that we're unlucky and it's a freak season really does sum it up. Farker's done everything he said he would. And in any other season, we're up already.
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And the reason we're not, you know, a team like ourselves and Leicester would fully be expected to be going up automatically, especially when one has financially doped for years and is effectively a club that is going to be a victim of probably at least minus 10 starting in the Premier League. So whilst Leicester fans are all celebrating, it's going to be very short lived, because it's almost, it will be immediate relegation.
Yeah.
For Leicester, because they were, because they've already got transfer embargoes in the Championship. I wouldn't be surprised if they have transfer embargoes and a 10-point deduction. So they're coming straight back down. The team that deserves all the credit in the world is Ipswich. At the beginning of the season, I've said this on this podcast before, at the beginning of the season, said they can't keep playing like that. They can't keep conceding goals and just scoring one more. That'll come back to haunt them. Well, I know fuck all. I was wrong. What they're doing is amazing. They've come up from League One, and this, and they look at it and it looks like they're going to go straight through the Championship and into the Premier League. That's insane. English manager. No one's talking about him. What they're doing down there is absolutely fantastic. They're winning games 4-3 in the 95th minute on a weekly fucking basis, and they have been all season. They deserve all the credit in the world. They really, really do. There's one team that do not deserve to go up out of this Championship, it's Leicester, because of their financial doping. If there's one team that deserved to go up for all of the exact opposite reasons, for pure footballing romance that's got nothing to do with money, Ipswich is the story of the season across all divisions.
I agree. Poor, I mean,
very true.
I mean, Kieran McKenna must be shitting himself, because it used to be quite a good thing for a Championship manager to do, a British English manager to do really well, and then you go, oh, he might attract the attention of the big clubs. Now it's just a kiss of death. You just got to Todd Bowley will be on the phone. You know, how to destroy your reputation in 5 minutes. Kieran should just stay where he is and keep doing it. Do not go to the big club.
I think he will. I don't think you go from League One to Championship to managing a top club. I really don't.
Yeah.
And yes, there's a lot of but Potter was still experienced in the Premier League. You know, been at Brighton a few seasons. You know, I think it'd be safe. But like I said, I mean, you know, I don't want to go on about too much. Like it's false modesty or anything like that, which it really isn't. All the time in the world for Ipswich. I really have. I think what they've done is incredible, absolutely incredible.
I saw something this week. I just wanted to ask you about this. Years ago, we wrote a thing called Club Shop. Years ago, this is like 25 years ago. And it was about a small town club being taken over by big money. And we were kind of doing this kind of slightly chicken idea that it got ridiculous, so that the team ended up kicking off at midnight because they wanted to capture the Asian audience. I mean, that seemed like a ridiculous thing to say. But then this week it comes out that one of the sponsors, one of the biggest buyers of Premier League rights, wants to stage two games in the US to start the season. I mean, we're there, right? We are there.
Well, a story that went almost unnoticed in the UK sporting press about 2 weeks ago was that FIFA had settled out of court with an American events company who wanted to organise some Premier League games in the States. And the case has been running for 5 years. And FIFA basically have stepped down because they've realised that there's nothing they can do. Now, what this all stems from is multiple club ownership with North American owners. And North American owners want Premier League games in North America, and they will happen. It's just a matter of time. It really is. But in saying that, UK football is, Premiership, it's tribal. Part of the reason people tune in to watch it is the atmosphere. Clubs will face huge revolts if they take too many games out of the country. There's all sorts of different implications at play here. But in North America, they want to see it. And it's Serie A is becoming more financially stable because they've got North American Ovens as well. And, you know, there's a big Italian community in North America, and sports broadcasters have realized that maybe the rights to Serie A aren't worth more than the chicken feed that was being paid for them. And there's going to be a little bit more financial equality going on with North American investment televising Spanish football, Italian football. It's still not the Premier League, but they're all way behind. But yeah, it's the power of North America. It's coming. And I don't think there'll be games next season abroad. But I would say that it's come. But also, let's not forget, clubs are, as soon as the Premier League finishes, I don't know who Newcastle are playing, but Newcastle have got a friendly 10 yeah. days after the end of the Premier League. Against Tottenham. Now, is it Australia or is it in the US?
I think it's Australia because
Postecoglou
was saying, he'd take Maddison because there's this whole kind of thing about, well, Maddison's going to be playing in the Euros, and Postecoglou said, well, if he's fit, he's coming to Australia. But
Premier League clubs who complain about fixture congestion, and then as soon as the season's over, fuck off halfway around the world to play meaningless games. Yeah, really. You need FA Cup replays binning.
Don't start that, but you're right. Yeah.
It's bollocks. It really is. But, you know, the season before we were in the Premier League, we did a tour of Australia, pre-season tour of Australia. There's loads of pre-season tournaments taking place in the US. And it's loads of pre-season tournaments. When people see those, that it's only a matter of time before the pre-season tournaments become league fixtures, you know? And it's like, no, we want actual, meaningful, proper games here, not these tin pot tournaments with all the stars missing.
Yeah,
tournament, nice.
Yeah, yeah. The last thing England won
the tin pot tournament.
Yeah. So
anyway,
very good. A good point. Well raised there, Mr. Rothney. It is. it is quite worrying, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, what else did we say we were going to be talking about?
Well, I wanted to ask Dave, what were the words between Mo Salah and Jurgen Klopp last weekend? That it all kind of got under the carpet, didn't it?
For fuck's sake.
Sorry. I just wanted to wind you up a bit.
It's like, you know, the other week it was Pep and Grealish. They were having words coming off. And it's just like, this happened. It's like, you know, it always indicates people who've never played any kind of competitive sport, they haven't got a fucking clue what they're talking about. It's like,
no, but hang on, this is coming on. This was coming on to the pitch, not coming off.
Yeah, no, it was. No, I'm not. Just bear with me. Fucking hell, bear with me.
Fair enough.
In the heat of battle, I've not played football to any high level, but I do recall you'd always be fucking at each other in games, shouting at each other, snarling at each other, and then after the match, you have a bit of a laugh about it. And that it's one of those classic moments where there's a lot of tension, Liverpool under a lot of pressure, Salah's obviously not happy about being picked, and it's almost like he's frustrated that he's not been... Basically, he wasn't picked to start, and then he's frustrated that he's only got 15 minutes or so or less to try and influence the game. And it's just one of those moments. He's just a bit irritated, and Klopp's quite rightly, you know, put him in his place from what you can see. But I'm sure it's forgotten about later. And the fucking media, they want to turn it into something. They want to make a big deal out of it.
Yeah, well, the media are making a big deal out of it because Mo Salah has made a big deal out of it, because after the game, and they've had time to cool down and talk in the dressing room, and Mo Salah walked through the media area and he never says anything to anybody. And he said, I'm not going to speak now. He is the reason this is a story. He is the reason why the media have run with it. He is the problem. He's one of the most selfish players I've ever seen. Whenever he's substituted, he has a fucking tantrum. When Mane was there. They used to have rows all the time because Salah never passed. There's a phrase at Leeds. It's called side before self every time. Salah is self before side every time.
Well, what can I say?
Well, it's been very successful.
I haven't got a fucking clue. I don't know. And none of us really know.
You can't say that, Dave. We're supposed to be experts, mate. You can't say I haven't got a clue. Say anything other than I haven't got a clue.
I mean, what I was going to say is there's post all this, the club has been saying, just sitting down with Salah to renew his contract and stuff. I don't think that. I think that's bullshit. I think he'll be off. I think they should cash in on him anyway. He's 32, isn't he, nearly? So just get 100 million for him.
Wasn't it renewed last season?
Yeah, it was, yeah. I think it was only a year, though, wasn't it? So they're talking about extending it for another year. But I think it should go. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So the notion of the club renewing his contract, I think, is bollocks. Mr. Slot, when he comes in, slot for Klopp. by the way, for the record, give him a chance. Fuck me. Jamie Carragher. We should have got Tuchel. Tuchel should have come. Who is he? Never heard of him. We should have got Tuchel. Tuchel? Fuck me. Toxic brand.
I'm willing to bet that Arne Slot has never heard of Carragher.
Yeah, well, probably. But, give the guy a fucking chance. Jesus Christ.
Just on Tuchel. Yes, so why do you say he's a toxic brand, Dave?
Well, what happened at Chelsea? And also, his reputation in managing players is it's out there, isn't it? He's not particularly, diplomatic with players and stuff.
He was very fond of sex workers when he was at Chelsea, apparently.
Really?
Apparently. He had a penchant.
All right, okay.
His marriage had just ended. But all right.
Is that in the public domain, Dave? Are we about to be
it is now. Oh no, this is just somebody it's one of those classic football fan stories, isn't it? Who cleans the boots of, I remember somebody saying it at the time when he was sacked. I'm sure it's not true at all. But apparently the players were shocked by this. So when you're shocking the morals of Premier League footballers, to your point, you've clearly lost the dressing room. But we'll see.
He obviously thought the club was still owned by Russians.
Yeah, presumably.
By the way, I say this with no degree of satisfaction, but this is when being a glass half empty fan is it comes into its own. So you may recall I said at the start of the season, top four in a cup.
I don't recall that.
It's going to go down to the last day of the season, actually, several times over the last few weeks.
That was Rothney.
And you agreeing with him on a regular basis.
It is going to go down to the last game of the season. You just won't be involved.
Yeah, exactly. So... I feel somewhat vindicated, and I'm not unhappy. I just think it's run its natural course and conclusion. There was a really interesting he's an American guy, funnily enough, but he's very good at analysing. He's a Liverpool fan, but he just said problem.
Does he have a name?
I can't remember his name. I'll find out for you. I should have done more research on this, shouldn't I? But. He talked about one of the reasons Slot has been selected is his management of players and reduction of injuries, which has been pretty impressive at Feyenoord, and also his defensive qualities as well. Even though he plays a similar system to Klopp, his emphasis is always on defence first. If you look at Feyenoord's stats, they're top in terms of defensive play. So it'd be interesting anyway. I just think give the guy a chance, but... Fucking Red Men TV on YouTube. They were taking the piss out of him. They had a Mike Myers as the fucking Bond villain in, whatever film it was. Can't remember. But it's just like they're comparing him, physically mocking him because he's got no hair. It's just like, fuck off. Give the guy a fucking chance, will you? And fuck off with your Tuchels and all your fucking other suggestions with these ex-pros and fucking pundits. Just the guy's an unknown quantity. So great. That's exactly what we want. We haven't got a clue what he's going to be like. So he might be shit, but he might be fucking brilliant.
Well,
so
yeah, he's not an unknown quantity. He's not an unknown quantity. Well, you've signed him because he's not.
I had not heard of him.
Oh, yeah, hang on. Don't turn it into Jamie Carragher. He's not an unknown quantity. He's the top of the league in Holland. That's not an unknown quantity. I'm sorry, that's just not.
He wasn't. All right, then. Let me rephrase that.
That's how he's got the job. He's got the job on what he's done. Not that people don't know who he is.
He wasn't in the general conversation about who should be next Liverpool manager. And the point is that Michael Edwards and Richard Hughes have done due diligence on him. They've quietly worked away in the background, finding out who the best candidate is based on data, based on analysis, not just fucking, oh, he used to play for Liverpool, he should be the next manager. Or, oh, he won the Champions League when he was at Chelsea, he should be the next. Fuck off.
Yeah, but do you know what else this proves? It proves that a season is a long time in football, because clearly your guys who've done their due diligence haven't gone back one season, because a season ago, he was top of the tree to replace Jesse Marsh at Leeds. He came to Elland Road. And our fans took to social media to say, no, 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 no. This guy's a fucking failure. Look at his season last season, which was one of the worst in Dutch history. My problem with Slot's announcement is the over-focus on one season and thinking that is the be-all and end-all. You go back three seasons and, he had one of the worst records in European football. So it'll be interesting to see how it works out. But I am just saying, I'm not saying that to be provocative or anything. It is, a season's a long time in football.
Well, he could have been Leeds manager.
You know,
there was talk of Ruben Amorim. Apparently, he was talking to West Ham in April last month, having a chat with them. So I think that ruled him out immediately. It's like, all right, okay, well, you can fuck off.
I disagree. I think he had the meeting with West Ham because he already wasn't getting the Liverpool job, because otherwise he doesn't take the meeting with West Ham.
Okay.
You know. Yeah.
West Ham are a big club, so.
Yes, they are a big club. They are, and one of the most
recent in London.
One of the most successful managers of the last 20 years, that they're moaning about constantly every week.
I know.
The best line I heard of this was from Martin Samuel, when he said, in a kind of ironic way, he said, sack Moyes and replace him with David Moyes, because there is no better manager for that situation. Because if they get rid of him, who are they going to pick? You know, I mean, they've been around the houses, that disaster of Pellegrini. Moyes is a great manager, and, you know, it's kind of,
he's perfect for West Ham. We keep saying it.
Yeah.
They want to play. What they need is David Moyes, but they need David Moyes who plays entertaining football. And good luck with that.
Yeah, David Moyes.
We've got a squad full of David Moyes players. I mean, up front, they're the highest scoring West Ham player in Premier League history. Was playing non-league in his early 20s, Antonio.
Mm.
Mm. I mean, he's polished turds all over the pitch, and Bowen, what a signing! Who goes into the championship? Name me a manager in the Premier League who goes into the Championship and buys a player who goes on to score 20 Premier League goals.
No one.
Fucking no one.
No one.
No one. Can you imagine the profit on Bowen if they sold him?
I know. I think we're all in agreement on this. We've had this chat a few times. Like you say, you know, they won a fucking trophy last year, and that team, where are they? Are they seventh or eighth? That's pretty good going. They're above Chelsea.
There's a lot of clubs above Chelsea.
Yeah, but my point is, in terms of clubs in London, they're at the moment they're third best, aren't they? So just based on league positions. But it's just like, football fans, just shut the fuck up. Are you gonna get? Who's gonna come? And Oh, that somebody, some Liverpool fans were even talking, going back to Liverpool briefly. Some Liverpool fans were going about fucking Mourinho. Honestly, every time there's a vacancy, Mourinho's name comes up. Bork off.
I don't think we'll see Mourinho in the Premier League again.
No. Good.
No, I don't think we will.
He's just so, he is so old school now as well, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that'll happen to everybody, though. There will be a time when the whole kind of Pep philosophy that is, everybody's kind of following that, drinking that Kool-Aid, that'll all change at some point. Everybody has their time. I think Mourinho, there was a time when he was the best coach in the world. I remember when he won the Champions League. Was it with Inter Milan?
Yeah, 2010.
I mean, that was just incredible.
Well,
it was
he is.
Just like, he left Chelsea, went there, won the Champions League. I mean, everything he touched at that point.
It's just all the baggage that comes with him.
Let's not forget.
Ask Roma fans the most recent club he was at what they think of Jose Mourinho.
Yeah.
Well, they booed the players.
He won the first European trophy for them.
Yeah, he booed the players and they booed the board. They wanted him back. When Mourinho arrived at the Stadio Olimpico, their home games were half full. By the time he left, sold out every week.
Yeah.
I mean, he's turned Roma around, and first European trophy in God knows. And you've got to remember, he has won a trophy at every club he's been at other than Spurs.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
And that includes his most recent appointment. And I still think that there is a place for Mourinho. It's got to be the right job. It's got to be with the right club in the right situation. But you know what Mourinho is? You know what Mourinho is? Mourinho is the European David Moyes.
Yeah.
He gets you results. It's just not that entertaining.
I mean, he's also a psychopath, but
he will do anything to win.
I mean, the way he kind of like nailed that referee at the end of the Europa League final last year was pretty unpleasant. And he's done a lot of things like that. But
Frisk, do you remember the Swiss referee, Anders Frisk? He fucking retired, didn't he? After Mourinho, I think, as Chelsea manager, sort of intimated that he'd been paid off or something like that. And he retired.
Yeah.
I was like, that's pretty disgraceful behaviour, really.
Yeah. But as a coach, he knows his stuff.
Yes. And speaking of coaches knowing their stuff, I watched the Man City treble winners documentary on Netflix.
I'm off halfway through it. Don't tell me what happens.
Right. Okay. I won't. But I've also watched the BBC documentary on Pep as well, and I've listened to the podcast version.
No, I've seen I'm on episode 3. What do you make of the City one on Netflix?
It's great. I think it humanizes the players. It's great to see who the big characters are in the dressing room. Rodri. And it's really impressive to see. But also for me, just quietly, the star of the show by a mile is Pep. It's the way I've never seen a football documentary with a manager in that style. The style where it's almost like he's not a football manager. He's just a people manager. He's just... Right. And you know, sometimes, great speeches. But a lot of the time, it's very brief. It's very brief. And that, I think it's episode 2, where he just gets all of the players and the staff and everybody in a circle. In the dressing room, about 35 of them, they're all in a circle, and he's just tapping his foot, and you can just hear him tapping his foot, and he's just looking at them all, and it's silent. You can hear a pin drop other than his foot tapping, and he says, "Look at each other, guys. Look in the eyes. Look in the eyes. Are we ready to go? Yes." And everyone just goes, "Yes." And he goes, "Right, let's go." Yeah. That's it. There's no fucking team talk. That's it. And it's Phil Foden literally next scene is saying, "We were so up for that game, like we just went at it straight away, and steamrolled Man U 1-6-3. But also, what's really fascinating is when he's saying to the players, if there's a problem on the pitch, then solve it. Mm. You're all great players. You all deserve to be here. You've all dreamt of these situations all your life. If there's a problem on the pitch, solve it. Don't wait for me. Don't wait to half time for me to fix everything.
That's
Get
true.
On with it. That's
great.
Yeah. And it's like I'm just on the training pitch, he takes his hat off and he goes, guys, I'm 53 years old. I've got no hair. I'm not always going to be here to show you every little thing to do. Yeah, it's like, take fucking responsibility. And then when they don't take responsibility and they fuck up a game and lose, and Pep's in the dressing room afterwards going, there are fans who've travelled hundreds of miles to come and see us. Some of them can't afford to pay their heating bills. And you play like that? Wow, guys. Wow. And it's just like, fuck me. None of them can look at him. They're all looking at the floor. And he doesn't have a go. He just hits them where they live. He just explains to them that they have let a load of people down.
Brilliant.
You know, it's just, yeah.
That's impressive.
Really impressive.
To go back to your point about Leeds, you know, the points total you've got this year in the Championship, ordinarily you'd go up with that. And it's the same with Liverpool. The points tallies we've had previous season, not now, of course, but in seasons where we've got 99, 98, 99, and City have, they, you know, any other season, we'd have won the league. But because of Pep and the way City have played, you know, it's like Liverpool could have had three or four titles at least.
I have to say, though, the season that you won the Premier League, yes, it finished behind closed doors. But when we went into lockdown, we had the last games of the season in February. You were way clear anyway. Mm. You were, I mean, the start of that season, you fucking battered everybody.
Everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there was no way you were getting stopped that season. Doesn't matter if there was a fucking break for a pandemic or not. That wasn't, but that is the level you've got to be at.
You got to be at
to beat City.
That's it. So I've had a discussion with quite a few Liverpool fans. I'm in a WhatsApp group with them, and there's one of them keeps saying, "Oh, it's not over yet. It's not over yet." I said, "You'll be saying that in fucking June. It's over. You cannot look at, if you look at the win, lose, draw, you've got to be winning everything at this point because you just know that City, and that's why I think City will win it now as well." Because they just, you know, Arsenal have been great, but City they've just kept going. They just can string together all these results, win, 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 just grinding out, sometimes battering teams, but grinding out wins. And Liverpool they've just fallen apart. Wheels have come off, turned to shit.
The only thing I'd say, I agree with that, except everybody seems to be forgetting this. I saw this on Match of the Day 2 on Sunday when they were saying, Ashley Williams was like, yeah, I think City will win those next four games. Can't see him losing. One of those games is Tottenham away. Now, apart from the FA Cup, when we beat them in the last minute, 1-0, that was the first goal we have scored at Tottenham's new stadium. We have never beaten them. And Pep gets dragged into it with Postecoglou as well. That is, I mean, there's a few tricky games. That's the game. That is the game. And it's being played on a Tuesday night. 4 days before the final, you know, before the final Sunday. That's the game. Mm. And I don't see Arsenal. I mean, I take your point, but what Arsenal have done, I mean, I know Chelsea are rubbish, but they battered Chelsea. They battered Tottenham in the first half. Those were the two. I was expecting them to drop points at Tottenham on Sunday. Yeah. I thought, they'll draw this. They'll draw this or lose it. And they didn't. They are going.
As much as I love you, Dave, I'd love to see Arsenal win it now, actually.
I think most people would because they don't want to see, and I understand that, because who wants to see the same team win the league four years in a row? Me. But apart from that, you know, but no, I get it. And Arteta's kind of, he's a good manager. It's a great story what he's done there.
Yeah.
They're playing great football, good players, you know. But, but that's the thing. It's, they could win their next, we've got that Tottenham game. That's the game.
Well, again, and it showed Arsenal are, the Liverpool in this situation in previous seasons, and they'll have played out of their skins. They'll have done so much, and they'll be pipped at the post. So, you know, psychologically, that is damaging. Has to be.
Well,
not yet. The game
Arsenal's Man City version of Tottenham, Arsenal's is Man United away. You know, that whack-a-mole of clubs. It's just, you know, oh, don't worry, I've sorted that problem. Oh, shit, there's another one. I've sorted that. Oh, there's another one. The thing is, you know, depends what Man United turn up. Or does it? Mm. They only seem actually capable of playing one half in any game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
against even Liverpool.
even when they beat Liverpool, Liverpool lost that game. Man United didn't win it. Liverpool should have gone in 3-0 up. And this is the thing. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that. But I'd love to see Arsenal do it. I think Arteta's been amazing. He's had the finance to do it. He's had the backing. It's going to be really interesting to see. And also, no team has ever won the top tier of English football 4 seasons in a row, and that's for a reason. If Pep pulls that off, I mean, I think that's a greater achievement than the treble.
Mm.
I really do. If the history of English football since 1888, no team has won 4 on the bounce in the top division. If he does that, it's unprecedented. That is proper footballing immortality. That's just unheard of. So, I think it's greater than the treble. And do you know what? On that bombshell, that's where we're going to leave it.
Brilliant.
You know, Man City, could it be a quadruple of league titles? Or are Arsenal going to do it? Or are they both going to fuck up? And Spurs nip in there and win it. Who knows?
Or Liverpool.
No.
You won't get enough coffee. All right.
No. Yeah. Well, look, thanks for listening as always, guys.
I don't think we're going to win another game. I'll leave it
there. There you go. Pessimists all around the world loving that. So, as always, Dave, thanks for being here.
Cheers.
David, thank you for being here.
Good to see you all.
And listeners, lovely to have you here. Chat to you next week.